All right. Well, I'm going to drive you crazy this morning. Yeah, I'm glad to see all of you here. Yeah, to me, there's nothing better than being in the church of God on Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but gathering with friends and family and worshiping God. I used to give the worship team, when we were a portable church, we practiced every site. And so we'd always be at the school. We'd set up. Everybody would leave after set up. The worship team would practice. And we'd always give each other a bad time because I'd say, well, I'll see you in the morning unless something better comes up. And my comment is this, well, what's better than being in church on Sunday morning? You know, and so whether you're a believer or not a believer, a Christian, not a Christian, whether you're just checking church out, I don't think you can find a better place to be than in a church with people who love and care and want to journey through life with you. And I really want this to be in our church. And what's exciting this morning, I think the topic this morning, no matter who you are, I think this topic fits. I want to ask you a question here. Who wants to be happy? All right, well, the majority of you do. I was wondering, I was going, well, if they don't raise their hand, how do I make them sad? You know, what can I do to make you sad? You know, I couldn't figure, you know, what am I going to do there to fulfill your dream of being sad today? But I want to talk about being happy. I want us to think about being happy. I watched this podcast the other day, and they were talking about people today, for many, the ultimate goal is to be happy. The ultimate goal is they want to be happy. And it's kind of like, well, I've always thought this, at least as a Christian and as someone involved with God, we always say something like this. Well, you don't want happiness because happiness depends on circumstances, so you want joy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because too much of our happiness depends on our circumstances. And so I really wrestled with it. So I said, well, what does the Bible say? And so I found this scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I went on my computer Bible, typed in happy, and I looked for this particular translation because this New American Standard translation is really almost a literal translation of the Hebrew. And he said, happy is this. Listen, I have seen that nothing is better than that man should be happy in all his activities, for that is his lot. Doesn't matter what he's saying. No matter what your circumstances is, you should be happy. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? He's saying the best thing in life is to be happy. But when I read that article and watched that podcast that said the ultimate goal for many is happiness. And it really kind of wrestled with that. I looked up this Hebrew word for happy. I gave you a definition there. You got your little outline out. You can follow along and kind of see that. Here's what it says. Here's how it defines happy. Rejoice, be glad, delight in, be elated. Have a feeling or attitude of joy and happiness with the possible focus of making an outward expression of that joy. And so it kind of seems like they interchange the word happiness and joy, that they're kind of both the same. But how do we deal with life when we want to be happy and circumstances doesn't fit that happiness? Anybody been in that boat? You know, put a smile on your face when you really don't want to. Anybody ever have to do stuff like that? You know, you just got to dredge through, you know, suck it up, you know, and you're trying to be happy and it's just not there. You know, how do we deal with life, you know? But see, there's a problem. Here's what I was real interested. I looked up this ultimate goal, and I kind of looked up some scientific studies, psychological studies, and here's some things they found out. That for those who seek happiness and pursue happiness, only 50% feel positive about life. Only 35% are satisfied with life. And 75% of people who pursue happiness are depressed. Think about that. If you're pursuing, your goal is to be happy, what it's saying is, you ain't never going to get there. If your desire and you try to plan your life around being happy, it's not going to happen. Being happy doesn't come from pursuing happy things. Now, I enjoy going to the happiest place on earth. All right, it's called Disneyland, man. That's, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, I'd be see if I lived there. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to try. But, you know, there's only so much you can endure. You know, but we want to be happy. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal if pursuing happiness prevents happiness? What are we going to do? How do we find happiness? And what's interesting is there's a guy that wrote much of our New Testament. A guy who wrote, and we have an ancient letter. He wrote a letter. It's a document that he wrote to a Philippi. His name's Paul. Let me kind of give you a little backstory to Paul. He writes this letter to the church in Philippi. Paul was an up-and-coming Jewish religious leader, all right? Paul had life going really, really well. He had a promising future. As I was reading and kind of thinking about it, he might have been a future high priest of the Jewish religion. I mean, he had life by the tail, living high. He was pursuing God, he was seeking God through that religious faith. He was trying to be all he could be for God. And he had a wonderful life. But then there was an occasion when he had an encounter with God. There was an occasion he's traveling to Damascus. You know, I always talk about that invisible line, that we all have to reach some invisible line where we have to decide, God, I'm kind of tired of things my way. I want to do them yours for my life and take control. Paul had that occasion on the Damascus Road. He's on the way to Damascus to pursue Christians. And he has this encounter with God on this road. And he had to make that decision. God, am I going to do things my way? And I'm going to continue to pursue Christians? Or am I going to do things your way? And in that exchange, he decided to start doing things God's way. And he sold out for God. And he became one of those Christians that he was pursuing. He became one of those followers of God that he was chasing after and seeking to imprison and to put to death. And in that pursuit, his life totally changed. He went from this potential great leader. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was part of like the Supreme Court of Israel at that time. He had all this promise ahead of him. He became a believer of God. He crossed that invisible line. He began to do God's way. And life didn't turn out as well. You read his life and he ends up beaten, whipped, stoned, not according to California stoning, okay? He ended up literally stoned. And I want to make sure you get a picture. When Paul was stoned, it wasn't pick up a baseball-sized rock and stone Paul. It was pick up a rock and stone Paul. You know, we had a cabin. My dad's boss had a cabin at Donald camping up there and staying at the cabin, and we'd have snowball fights, and you know, we'd dig down into the snow, because when you want to have a snowball fight, you want a nice solid piece of snow, all right? And so we dig down in the snow, and I mean, the snow is 10 foot deep, and we dig 5-6 feet down into the snow, and we pick up, and we named ours, you know, this is a Volkswagen,
yeah,
and we name our thing, and I mean we're throwing these snowballs, well, ice chunks. That's what they were doing to Paul. He's pursuing God. He's doing things God ways, and life is not going. He had a better life before he became a believer. He had a better life going for him before he crossed that invisible line. And so he's been beat up and abused, and everything could go wrong in his life. Matter of fact, he gets so bad, he ends up in jail. You know, he upset his friends from his religious leader friends. They all got mad at him and threw him in jail. And he's sitting in jail in potential death hanging over his head, soon to die. And he's sitting there, and he writes this letter to the Philippian church. The Philippian church had sent him some financial assistance. You know, here in America, you go to jail, who pays for you? The government does. Back then, you go to jail, guess who pays for you? You do. You're on your own. You want to eat? You better find somebody to bring you some food. You know, you're. And the church in Philippi sends him some money, so he writes them a thank you letter, and that's the letter of Philippians. And in that letter, he talks about happiness from the perspective of being content, because that's what I want us to think about this morning. So I want us to look at happiness in two ways. This morning, I'm going to talk about if you want to pursue happiness, you're going to have to learn to be content. And tomorrow, next week, not tomorrow, I'll give you a week off. Next week, about consequences. If you want to be happy, you better think about your consequences to your decision. But I want you to think about being content. Here's Paul sitting in jail, in prison. He'd been beaten, whipped all through his life now, probably 20, 30 years of that going on in his life. And he's sitting there. Now, I don't know about you, be sitting there thinking about, you know what I gave up? I gave up all my Jewish religious success I could have been. For this? To sit in jail? But the church sends him some money, and he writes in this letter of thanks. And as you read this letter, I think it's real interesting as he talks about it. The verse, it's really good, Philippians 4:4. This is before this verse we're going to read in a minute. He says, rejoice, Lord, always. And again, I say rejoice. I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting in jail, I ain't going to rejoice, okay? You know, if I ever end up in the county jail or, you know, anywhere else, you're not going to see Gary sitting there saying, praise Jesus, I'm here. Ain't going to happen. It's going to be Gary moaning and whining, God, get me out of here. Yeah. And so he's sitting there and he writes this letter. So I want you to listen to what he says as he's telling this church thank you for this gift and what he says about contentment. I read greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Thanks for being happy for me. Thanks for thinking about me is what he's saying. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. You've always been concerned, but you never showed it, he says. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Why don't you circle that word learn? We're going to come back. I've learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret. There it is again. Why don't you circle it? It's twice. Of being content in any and every situation. You get that? Good, bad, indifferent. Good circumstances, horrible circumstances. I've learned to be content. Whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all this through him who strengthens me. You see the picture. Paul's saying, listen, I've learned the secret of being content. And what's the secret? Did you see the secret there? It's my verse, right? Those who know me, that's my motto verse. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's what he's saying. I've learned the secret of contentment is God. Think about that. I learned the secret of contentment is there is a God who created and who sustains, who's formed me and put me here, and I've learned the secret of being content is in him. I want to think about that. And what he's sitting here saying and rehearsing for us, Jesus makes it possible for us to be content no matter what the stances. How content would you be to sit in jail? I visited the Honor Farm. I've been there. I remember the old jail, the old Modesto jail, women's jail, downtown on Scenic. I went there and visited somebody. I had the jail thing jammed behind me. Clang, you know, and it's like, oh, man. You know? And Paul's saying, whatever the circumstances, I've learned to be content. And then he goes on and says this in two good verses to memorize, verse 13 and verse 19. Look at 19. And my God will supply most of your needs when he has enough to give you in Jesus Christ. Sound okay? He's going to supply what? All your needs according to the riches of Christ. I'm going to ask, how much does God own? What resources does God have? What supply does God have? You know, where's God's warehouse? He's saying, listen, I know what it is to be content. I've discovered that secret, and that secret is God. I can do all things, and he's going to take care of me. He has all I need. Anything I'll ever need, he has. So it doesn't matter what my circumstance it is. I can be content. I can be happy no matter what my circumstances are because, does that make sense? Do you want to be happy? And so often we pursue happiness. You know, I'm going to go find happiness in the bottom of this bottle. Is that okay? Now that bottle might be alcohol. Or that bottle may be a bunch of pills. Is that true? Do people try to, you know, I'm going to find my happiness. I'm going to find my happiness in this relationship. She'll make me happy. He'll make me happy. I'll be satisfied. When I'll be happy. And then you get it, and you're going, what in the world did I get myself into? Anybody been in that boat? You know, we pursue happiness and we don't get it. And Paul's saying, listen, I learned what it is. If I want to be happy, I've got to be content. And I'm content because of God. I want to paint that picture. I gave you a little definition in here also. You don't need more in order to be happy. Anybody want to know that one? I just need a little bit more. How many here, like me, you know, we just need a little bit more money? Anybody just need a little bit more money? Yeah. I just need a little bit more computer. Anybody? Wait, I need a little bit more smartphone. Anybody? I need a little bit more kids. No, we don't want any more kids, right? You know. Just a little bit more. So I got five things real quick. I'm going to go through five things real quick. If you want to be content, and if you really want to be happy, don't pursue happiness. Pursue these five things, okay? Pursue these five things. And I can pretty much, I'll be honest with you, I'm a good car salesman. I can guarantee it, okay? Because it's built on God, not me. It's not Gary's guarantee, all right? I'm going to make sure you understand. Gary's guarantee isn't worth much, okay? But God's guarantee, who makes it possible for me to do all things, God's guarantee that says he will supply all my needs. Is that a pretty good guarantee? Can you take that one to the bank? Yeah. And so here's five things real quick that you pursue these, and I can pretty much guarantee you're going to have a happy life. You're going to have joy. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens in your life. Because Paul's sitting in jail, and Paul's sitting there saying, I'm happy. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4, good verse to memorize. There's some good stuff in Philippians to memorize, okay? So here's the first one. Stop comparing yourself to others. If you want to be happy, if you want to be content, quit looking around at what everybody else has. All right? Quit comparing yourself to everybody else and what they have and what you don't have. Come and tell you something. There will always be somebody who has more than you. All right? It's just the reality of our world. There's always somebody. And we compare. You know? Let's pull my cell phone. Who's got the biggest cell phone? You know? Biggest computer. Hey, I got 7 terabytes of data to storage. Come on now, anybody? All my sermons and notes. And do we compare? Yeah. I'm the best looking one. I'm so handsome. Yeah. Do we compare? Clothes? You know, you got to have the clothes with the right symbols on them. Do we compare? Do we ever... And we keep comparing, you know, we're never going to get it. Let me tell you something. You are unique. Isn't it fun? Now, honestly, I am glad there are a lot of people not like me. All right? I often wonder, you know, if everybody drove like me, we'd be in big trouble. But they sure tick me off because they don't drive like me. Anybody? You know? If everybody would just do it this way and that way and my way. I was the assistant manager. I was 18 years old running this movie theater. You guys heard the story. I'm not going to get into it all the time again, although I love the story. I had to do all the inventory, and I stacked stuff in the storage room in certain ways so I could go into the store. They did inventory every week. You had to count everything every week, every candy bar, every paper cup. You counted everything. And so I had everything stacked in ways I could go in and, you know, there's a box of 144. There's 10 of them there. Boom, 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 boom. I can just fill out work and get it done. Every Monday morning, I did inventory. And then somebody would take stuff upstairs. You know, one of the workers, you know, take all that stuff and put it stack. And they wouldn't stack it the way I wanted it. It's got to be my way, man. My way. Anybody? We compare, you know, my way is the right way. Your way is the right way. We're all unique. I want you to think about this. There's a perfect God, who created you the perfect way he wanted to. Think about that. Now, does that mean we're always happy? I sat there the other day watching a preacher preach. A guy gets up, he sings and preaches. You want me to sing? See? See? Is God fair? No! You know, we want to compare ourselves. Let me tell you, we don't need to compare ourselves. You're good just the way you are. You want to be happy, just be who you are. I always tell you this, and I'm so happy I get to be Gary. I've got to be Gary the whole time I've been here. You know, I don't put on a show. I don't have to act a certain way. Oh, you're the preacher. I've had people tell me when they visit our church or we're talking to somebody and they go, you're the pastor? You know, it's like, yeah, because they have an image of what a pastor looks like. Well, I'm sorry, I don't always fit into these little cubby holes. I'm a weird dude, okay? You know? But we gotta, I'm okay. Is anybody else here okay? Are you guys okay? You okay with who you are? You okay that I can't sing? Do I ever get aggravated about that? Yes. You know? I cannot sing and clap at the same time. You watch them as they're sitting up here clapping during the last song. They'll be looking at me laughing. You know, because once I just can't. You know? Rhythm? Give me a break. You know? I tried to play golf. Anybody want to play? I love playing golf. Fun out there. Beautiful golf out there. I can't play golf. I found that it's not my game. You know, you got to be really detail-minded to play golf. You know, if you're just an eighth of an inch off on your grip, you're messed up. Yeah, I got one of those banana slices. Yeah. I'm playing this fair and I'm three over. Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. How often do we point out all our weaknesses? See, I just told you a bunch of not good at. You know, we always think what we can't do, don't we? But God made us this way. You know, there are some things I can do. I hung a door yesterday. You guys, my wife posted a picture of me hanging a door. Oh, isn't that fun? Go to my mother-in-law's house and work on her house. It's like, Dan, get over and fix this door. I hung it. Now you got to go fix it. You know? We always think what we can't do. Listen, you always think what you can't do. You miss what you can. Enjoy what you can. There's a lot of things I can't do, but there's a lot of things I can do. And I'm going to have fun doing what I can. See, you got to be okay with yourself. Be okay with who you are. Don't compare yourself to others. The second one I put down here is this. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. Now, we live in America. Anybody here live in America? All right. Is America a consumer nation? You know, it's measured by what you have, right? And no matter what you have, it's bigger, better, and newer tomorrow. All right, my computer crashed, okay? I had to go buy a new computer. Guess what I want today? That was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I can't remember, not long ago I had to buy a new computer. Guess what I want? I want a new computer. Because they're bigger. They run faster. It does more. Anybody? Wait, here's a big one. Now, I hope I don't offend you, but I expect to offend you, okay? How many here have a smartphone? All right, some of you have smartphones, okay. How many of you have ever taken a good smartphone, one that works, that you can make a call on anytime because the new one came out and exchanged it for a new one besides me? I done it. I had to have the new one, all right? It had a faster chip in it. It had a bigger screen. How often do we take, it's good, my phone is good, it works, but I want a, anybody else do that? Come on, don't sit there so innocent. You know? Now, I haven't seen it in this church, I'll be honest, but I've seen people who've got a new car every year. Anybody know what? I mean, yeah, they've got a new car every year. Pretty good car, nothing wrong with it. You know? Now, I don't blame anybody, you know, that's okay. But if you're always thinking about what you don't have, you don't realize what you do have. You know, and I think we need to kind of step back Look at what it says here. I like the way Solomon. Now, Solomon was the wisest man. And he wrote this. It is useless. It is like chasing the wind. It is better satisfied with what you have than to be always wanting something else. Here's what I see with this verse, my experience. Have you ever saved, you worked hard to get something and you couldn't wait to get it, and once you get it, 2 weeks later, you wonder why you wanted it so bad? Anybody besides me do that? You know? It's like, I'm going to save, I really want this, you get it, and then it's like, man, what's the... And we need to see, if I want to be happy, you know what, I got to kind of back up from, I just got to always have. You know what? I really have a blessed life. You know? I'm looking over my life. I'm 63 now, and I'm looking back over my life. I'm going to tell you guys something. I've had a great life. I've sat and visited my dad. My dad's 85, and he wrestles with some things. My brother committed suicide. My other brother already died. Sister and I are left. And he wrestles with how he raised us. Some of you have heard my story of my experience of growing up and how my dad raised us. And he's kind of talked about some of the things. And I keep telling him, you know what? I wouldn't trade my life. I'll be honest with you. I feel bad for kids today. You need to know that. I really do. They don't, I mean, I was driving a car at 10 years old. You put a kid in the car nowadays, you're going to get, we'd drive to the field next to our house and keys, go driving. My dad sat there and watched, I'm turning donuts out in that field and, we would change lights, at the shop, and it's like, get on the forklift, drag, If I stepped off the side of the forklift, oh, you idiot, you stepped off the forklift. Nowadays, you got to have a rack around you, you got to get hooked up, and it's like, oh, man. I look back and I'm like, you know what, I've had a great life. I'm enjoying life today. Now, do I want stuff? I still want more. I want so much stuff, I can't even walk through my garage. Anybody else got a garage like that? Don't raise your hand. If you're, some of you would have a garage like that, but you got a U-Store place, right? My wife and I are talking. We got to decide what we got all sorts of dishes. I get all sorts of Mickey dishes. And then we go to garage sales, we find more Mickey dishes. Guess what I buy? Now it's like, well, which ones are we going to keep? We got so many dishes, we won't even fit anymore. Anybody got a problem like that? See, we worry about what we don't have. We get caught up with what we don't have. And we need to be, wait a minute. I'm really blessed. Look at what it says. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you could ever dream of, you will abound in every good work. All you need. Here's a rule for me. Now, this is my thought. This might not be you, but this is a principle for me. And I live by this. You know what I deserve? I've sat down. You know what I deserve in life? Nothing. I deserve absolutely nothing. I have worked hard all my life. Like I said, I was 10 years old driving trucks and stuff at my dad's shop. Working. Got paid $1 a day. Isn't that fun? Some of you guys made even less than that. I've worked all my life. I would get on my bicycle and ride to work when I was in high school until I got my driver's license. All this, went to college, paid for it. Nobody paid my college. Laura and I worked. Full-time jobs to pay for college. I went to school days and worked nights. She went to school nights and worked days. But you know what I deserve? Nothing. But you know what that does? It makes everything a blessing. And I am so blessed. I'm so blessed. I was really fresh talking to somebody. Some of you guys I got sick, right? You guys know that. I was sick for 6 weeks, all right? I did not do well. That's the sickest I've ever been in my life. Talk to others of you. You got sick, you went to the doctor the next day, and you got well quickly. I was dumb enough, I didn't go to the doctor for 3 weeks. That ain't right. But I'm blessed. See, I deserve nothing, and that makes everything a blessing. Doesn't make life easy that way. Do I work hard? I think I do. I got an hour and a half today, and I'm done, right? Some of you are laughing because you know what it is. man, I am so blessed. My wife and I, we're going to go out and have a sandwich after church. You know, we're looking at redoing our kitchen and you know, get that income tax return. They come in handy. You know? See, we got to quit looking at what we don't have. Think about what we do have. How about the next one I put down here? Give yourself to others. You want to be happy? Give yourself to others. Life's not just about you. Give yourself. Give your time. Give your talents. Share yourself with others. Have you ever done that and felt so good? Anybody ever do that and it just makes you feel so good inside? Anybody? You know, when you give yourself away, you know, when you give maybe something away, when you give yourself, give your time, or you do something for somebody else. You know, like I said, I went up to my mother-in-law's house and helped my brother-in-law hang the door on the pump house, and we did that. Did I want to do that? You want to know the truth? No. Yeah. But I got to visit my brother-in-law. We grew up together, running around together. So for 3 hours, we got to talk about all, you know, just had a good time. See, give yourself away. Share yourself with others. Look at what it says. Each of you use whatever gift you have received. Remember, now we're all unique. We all have special abilities. We all have special talents. Use whatever special talent you have to serve others. Can you give yourself to others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms? I help people with their computer. I love computers. I, you know, and people call me, can you come over and fix my computer? Can you come over and do this? Can you come over? I get those calls. Don't ask me to work on your cell phone, okay? It ain't going to happen. All right. But you want to play with a computer? I can play with your computer. You know? Now, I can drive nails straight, but don't ask me to cut a board straight, okay? I can't do that. You're going to have to call somebody else to cut that board straight. Yeah. They're straight. Yeah. He didn't let me drive any nails here. He made me dig ditches over here is what he made me do. Yeah, those were crooked too, yeah. That's not my talent. I'm good at putting my foot in my mouth. That's what I'm good at. Yeah. But see, we give ourselves away. We, you know, whatever we have, our time, our talent, our stuff. Had an old Mercedes car. And I always wanted a Mercedes, and I got a Mercedes. But it wasn't worth it. All right, it just wasn't, it was a Mercedes that, it just wasn't worth it. And so we were going to sell it, so I start to sell it, and I get some girl from San Jose come over to buy it. We wanted $500 for it. It ran. And she comes over, and she's going to buy the car, and it's like, okay, I can sell it to you, and, you know, and then I'm filling out papers with her, and she has no insurance. It's like, what in the world? You going to take the car to, she was not making wise decisions. So here's what I did. It's like, okay, you have no insurance. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you insurance, then I'll give you the car. And so we took her down, and she had $500. She paid $300 for insurance and gave me $200 for my car. And that I'm going, you know, hopefully I taught that girl something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Just give ourselves away, you know? It's different gifts and different talents and just... Does that make you happy? You know, I think there's some wisdom in God. It's God. You know, God's equipped me. And I don't have to compare myself to others to be happy. And I don't have to count what I have to be happy. And if I give others, I can be happy. The next one I put down here is this way. Focus on things with eternal value. See, I think we get caught up in temporal things. You know, I bought a brand new car when I was in college. We were getting ready to graduate college. My car blew up. I'm serious. My car blew up, and we had a new car. We bought a new car. New car was $5,000, and tell you how long ago it was. All right, bought this brand new car, and I waxed it every weekend. Nice sports car kind of thing, Mercury Capri, third gear scratch. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know. Oh, man, I was having fun with this car. Waxed it every weekend, took care of the car. And then some snotty-nosed kid threw a Hot Wheel car and chipped the paint. Jumped in the car, ran over to the Mercury dealer, and bought the silver paint and the little tube to touch up where that was. You know what? I don't know where it is. I have no idea where that car is right now. When I sold it, it wasn't worth much either. I blew the gears in it, and I don't guess I handled it well. But it was clean and waxed all the time. car just didn't last forever. You know, cars don't last forever. What lasts forever? Anybody got an idea? You know what lasts forever? Relationships. Why don't you write down? That's what lasts forever. I think Jesus had so much wisdom. Remember one day some guy comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you know, what's the most important thing for me to do? If I had to put number one on my list every day, what is that number one thing I should do every day? And Jesus said this, it's right here for you to look at. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to tell you, you want to be happy? Love God, love others. That's eternal. That's forever. I mean, I guarantee you, you know, I ain't going to take my car to heaven. There's some guy, I did a funeral one time over out in the country over here somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but somewhere way out in the country over there. And some guy is buried in his Cadillac out there. Literally, that cemetery, they buried the guy in his Cadillac. Yeah. I don't think he took his Cadillac with him. I know I've seen King Tut's tomb and those things. That stuff's still there. You know, it didn't go anywhere. But I'm going to tell you one thing you can take, one thing that does go, is your relationships. A relationship with God and a relationship with others is eternal. You invest in that, and I guarantee you, you'll be happy. You'll be thrilled. Life would be a joy. No matter what the circumstance. Because you know, when things are bad, when things are going wrong, who's going to come to you and encourage you and strengthen you and bring joy to your life? Those that you're loving and sharing life with. See how it pays off? See, what are you investing your life in? What's that eternal things that you're going to invest in? Those things that will take you all the way into heaven. And let me get the last one here. In God's providence. And I put a big word in there, but let me just make this as simple as I can. Trust God. Okay? Just trust God. Just put it all in God's hands. God has a plan, and God is working it. No matter good or bad, God is going to do something in your life. I've had some bad things in my life. Anybody else had some bad things in your life? I've had some things I had to go through again. Anybody got some of those things you just don't want to do again? Some of those experiences, some of those situations that just kill it, that, you know, literally almost killed you. They're bad. But you know what? God can use those. And now they never come good. Look at what it says. And we know that in all things, good or bad things, it doesn't matter, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to make sure, bad things are always bad. Make sure you understand me. It doesn't make them, they're bad. That God can take those things and use them for good. I tell people all the time, somebody asked me, they were doing a report for school, what about your regrets? You know what? I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Now, have I made some mistakes in my life? More than I'd like to admit. All right? There are some things that I don't want to go near. But you know what? If it wasn't for those mistakes, I wouldn't be who I am today. God used them to make me who I am today. God has used those situations and those circumstances and those words and those things that were bad that I don't want anything to do with. But God used them to make me Gary today. I wouldn't be who I am. I'll be honest with you. You know what school I learned the most from? You know, yeah, I went to Cal Baptist and I went to Consumers River Junior College and Golden Gate Seminary. I went to all these schools. The best school I've been in, it's called the School of Hard Knocks. Ain't that school? Isn't that a good school? You know, is that where you learn the most in your life? You know, when you go through that School of Hard Knocks. You know? But God takes those things in our lives. I could just see Paul sitting there in jail. He had been planting churches all over the Mediterranean area. I mean, all over the Mediterranean area, churches everywhere. You can read all about them. And he's sitting there. And it's like, has my life been worth it? Am I happy? I'm facing death. I've been beaten. I've been, you know, would it have been better if I would have stayed in the Sanhedrin and being a Jewish leader? Would it have been better? And Paul sits there and writes, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Paul writes, I found what it is to be happy. I know what it takes to be content. Be content. Don't compare yourself to others and worry about others. You know? I look at things. I set Rick Warren, I don't know if you know who he is, pastors a large church in Southern California. You know, he has just, you know, I encourage you guys to get in Bible study groups during the week, right? You guys, he has 30,000 people in Bible study during the week. I'm talking about comparing. He was a year ahead of me in college. I sat there with his mom and dad, knew his mom and dad, fellowship with him. You know, and he has over 20,000. He's going to do something like 13 Easter services. Man, God, I'm screwed. We can run into a lot of trouble. You know, we don't compare to others. You know, and don't worry about what you don't have. What don't I have? You know what? I don't have. Now, nothing against them, but I don't have the new Samsung 9. You know? And I don't, I want that Microsoft Surface computer. It's only $3,000. Don't worry about what I don't have. You know, I'm not going to compare to others. I'm going to invest in those eternal things. You know? God has a plan. Here's this verse. Listen. For I know the plans I have for you. This is God. God says, I have plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So I want to ask you, are you happy today? Are you happy? I am. Got my day all figured out. You know, we're going to finish church. We'll lock everything up. We're going to get out and we're going to go to Mr. Pickles and have some sandwiches. Is that okay? Yeah. Then we're going to go in and we're going to Lowe's and we're going to look at Lowe's and look at kitchen cabinets and countertops because she wants to redo the kitchen. You notice I said she wants to redo the kitchen. All right. Yeah. You got to be happy in all circumstances, guys. Remember that. I got a good life. Now, is my life perfect? No. I got so many things right now. I got calls. Gary, I need you here. And Gary, are you going to do this? And Gary, what about? And it's like, man, we got Vacation Bible School Conference coming up. I got the Easter Sunrise Service I haven't even talked about yet. I just got invited to another conference down here in Turlock. And, and then, by the way, we want to take our grandkids on a trip during the Easter break. Anybody? Oh, man. I'm going to get depressed. And you know what? Hey, I get to have an Easter sunrise. I was walking to church this morning. You need to know I came here at 6:30 this morning walking here. It's cold, guys, at 6:30. But I'm going, the sun's not up. So Easter sunrise service, it's not even going to be 6:30, man. It's going to be late. Yeah. You know, I don't know, man. I don't have to worry about getting, you know. It's like, all right, sunrise service isn't going to be 6:30. Woo. You know? There's always something God's up to. I want to ask you, where you at? Here's what it says. I've learned to be content. Have you? Whatever circumstances. I've learned to be. Have you? Think about this. A tombstone. You got a tombstone, right? How would you like to have a tombstone and, you know, written on that tombstone? He pursued happiness. Doesn't that sound good? Or how about this? He was a good father. He was a good man. He was a good man. And he tried to make a difference, a little difference in this world. Which headstone would you want? You want to be happy? You want happy? Quit chasing after it. I think Solomon was wise. Chasing after happiness is like chasing after the wind. I think there's wisdom in that. I want to tell you to pursue God. Find it not in comparing to others, not in what you have, Not in, you know, I've got to invest in the eternal things, and you got to do that in the providence of God. Pursue those. And I can guarantee you something. You'll be happy. You'll be happy. I'm going to tell you, life is good. Am I always happy? No. That I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Which one do you need to work on? Where are you at in your life? Which one's keeping you from being happy? You caught up in comparing? You caught up in what you don't have? You caught up in investing in things that aren't eternal? You're not trusting God? You know, I think about that. Paul had the life of leisure set before him. A Jewish leader and ruler set before Paul. But he changed. God changed. And I think Paul, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, knew what he was talking about. He found happiness in God. Do you have that happiness? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for all that you do in the midst of our lives. That you do have a plan for each life. Each one in here, this place, this morning, right here, right now, is created by you, perfectly created in the perfect way you wanted them. There's no flaws. There's no mistakes. They are who you designed them to be. And Lord, I pray that they'll have a peace about who you've made them to be. And that they'll give themselves away and they'll be happy with what they have. And they'll trust the eternal value. And a God who loves him. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I don't know what you're wrestling with, and maybe right now it's just not a happy time in life, and that's okay. Sometimes it's not. And you want me to pray for you? Will you just shoot your hand up and say, just pray for me. I'm struggling right now. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of those who struggle right now. With a peace and a happiness. Lord, we live in a broken world. A world that's messed up. Relationships are messed up. Circumstances are messed up. Situations are messed up. There's losses in life and there's battles in life. And it's a hard world sometimes. And so I ask that you'll set upon them a peace, Lord. That you have a plan and a purpose. Even in the bad, you are working to bring out good. Let there be no regrets. Let there be a peace. That they'll trust the evidence of God. Lord, just encourage them and say, I ask that you'll show them what you're doing in their life, that you reveal your purpose and your plan, that they can see the hand of God in spite of all that's going on, that they can know that God is there in the midst and that they are not alone. Just as Paul said in that jail, and I'm sure must have felt sometimes alone and abandoned, that these are here this morning wrestling with feelings. So I ask that your spirit was set upon them, that you'll lift their heart up, that you'll encourage them, because you are God who loves them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.